This morning I'll be looking at the seventh dispensation in prophetic truth, which is referred to as either the kingdom or the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as Pastor mentioned a little bit earlier on when I started to look into this, I honestly ended up in overload. And the reason is that I've never really studied this closely, and I haven't heard many messages on the millennium, and it appears to me that not many believers are knowledgeable in this particular area. So as I began to search into this, it just led me all over the place, and especially in the Old Testament. And I'm thinking, how on earth am I going to present this with so much information? And hence, I'm having to kind of cut back and just focus or concentrate on some areas in that millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just to put you in context of the millennial reign as to what's taking place in prophecy, we are all looking forward to the rapture of the church. That's the thing that our eyes are firmly fixed upon. And once the rapture has taken place, we are told in Scripture that we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. There we will be judged according to our works. Now that takes place in heaven. While that's taking place in heaven, the 70th week of Daniel, that 7-year period that we referred to last week, is taking place on the earth. So the church has been raptured, and then the Antichrist is going to make a covenant or renew a covenant with the nation of Israel for 7 years. So that's taking place on the earth. At the end of this 7-year period, or the 70th week of Daniel, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return to the earth. But this time all eyes are going to see him. And hence the passage that we referred to this morning with his return, and all those that are identified with him and that are coming with him. The end of the 70th week at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ means the end of the prophecy for the nation of Israel. It closes there. And when I shared with you the scripture last week in Daniel chapter 9, it tells us there very clearly in verse 24 that it's going to bring in everlasting righteousness. So that'll be the time that will finish for the nation of Israel according to the 70 weeks of Daniel. And then after the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is then that heralds in the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to read a little bit about that in Revelation chapter 19. Now, I ask you to bear with me, if you will. We're going to be reading quite a bit of scripture. And I make no apologies for that, because I would prefer that you just didn't listen to everything that I say and take it for gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to see it for yourself. You need to study it for yourself. And you need to tell yourself or assure yourself that what you believe and where you stand is true and is the word of God. So bear with me as we look at quite a bit of scripture relating to the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's, if you will, please consider the verse again I mentioned to you last week. Can you remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 32? As a very important verse in prophecy, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. And again, to fit in this millennial reign, we need to know what God's plan for the Gentiles is. God's plan for the Gentiles is not the same as God's plan for the church. And so we just need to focus on the various scripture that the Bible has for us. If we want to look at God's plan for the Gentile nations, we have to go back to the book of Daniel. If you will turn there this morning, please. We're going to go to chapter 2, Daniel chapter 2, and it has to do with the image of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, that's God's plan for the Gentiles, all on this particular image from the start, which is Babylon, the head of gold, all the way through to his second coming. And in Daniel chapter 2, it actually begins at verse 31 and goes through, but I'd like you to look at verse 34. And in verse 34, it says, "Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, and that were of iron and clay, and break them in pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold." So that's this whole image broken to pieces together. "And became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." Now, this stone that's filling up the whole earth is the reference to the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when this millennium comes in, the Gentile nations are finished. They've been pulverized. They've been taken over. And that's the end for the Gentiles. Specifically, I want to look at this morning is who are going to enter into the millennium. Who are the people that are going to go in there? And so, considering that, I'd like you to consider the various views, okay? Look at Revelation chapter 20 for a moment. In Revelation chapter 20, here's the millennium mentioned. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 10. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. There's the millennium reference. Verse 3. "And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." Think about that. During the millennial reign, Satan, when he gets loosed, he's going to be able to get all these people together as the sand of the sea. Isn't that incredible? Verse 9, "And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. 1,000 years. Anybody reading this, having no understanding or no knowledge of Christianity whatsoever, I'm sure that as they read it, they take it literally, wouldn't they? But I'm going to give you a bit more of a definition regarding covenant theology. As I mentioned last week, I hold a dispensational position. And covenant theology is the opposite side to being a dispensationalist. And you've heard of the term, no doubt, an amillennialist. Somebody comes up to you and say, look, I am amillennial. What do you understand by that? What does it mean? Well, we know the word millennial or millennium is 1,000. When you put an A in front of it, it negates it, meaning no millennium. Okay, so they're against the literal 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an amillennialist. We are premillennialist, but I'd like to give you a definition of what constitutes covenant amillennialism. Covenant amillennialism. And it's very interesting that the definition that they've taken upon themselves is written by a premillennialist. How about that? His name is John Wolvert. And some of you may have material on things to come written by John Wolvert. He was a prolific writer. This man is the one who defines covenant amillennialism. And it's interesting that William E. Cox, C-O-X, he is an amillenarian, accepts the definition as being correct by John Wolvert. Okay, and here it is. Its most general character, that is covenant amillennialism, its most general character is that of denial of a literal reign of Christ upon the earth. Satan is conceived, listen to this, Satan is conceived as bound at the first coming of Christ. Got that? When the Lord Jesus Christ came to the earth. That's when Satan is bound. Now you figure that out. Satan is conceived as bound at the first coming of Christ. The present age between the first and second comings is the fulfillment of the millennium. So we're in the what? We're in the millennial reign. We're in the millennium. Okay? Its adherents, listen to this, its adherents are divided on whether the millennium is being fulfilled now on the earth, Augustine holds that view, or whether it is being fulfilled by the saints in heaven. And that man is Cleophoth. So there's a difference of views or opinion. When you start to spiritualize scripture away, the sky's the limit. That's basically what's going on. These people, they can't even agree with each other together as to what constitutes this 1,000-year reign. I continue to read. It may be summed up in the idea that there will be no more millennium than there is now, and that the eternal state immediately follows the second coming of Christ, as they freely recognize that their concept of the millennium is quite foreign to the premillennial view that they have been given the title amillennial by most writers. So again, when we start to study this area, when you start to look at it, and if you want to discuss things with people who are of different persuasions, you can be sure that unless you concentrate on Scripture and unless you agree together on a literal interpretation of Scripture, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time because all they'll want to do is spiritualize things away, and you're saying, look, the Bible says, look at the words, it says that. They'll spiritualize it away. And so there's nothing you can argue against them, and they can make it say anything that they want. And then you begin to wonder, well, what's the point? What's the point? Who's right and who's wrong? So let's have a look at those who are going into the literal 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, and I want you to look in chapter 20 again, at that the passage that we have just read, and you can see in verse 4 we have the first group of people that are going into the millennium, and they are the tribulation saints. In other words, those that have lost their lives during that seven-year period, which we call the tribulation, which is the 70th week of Daniel, they are the ones who are going to be resurrected at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something else I want you to note, which is rather interesting, the method of execution in the tribulation is what? Beheading. The saints are being beheaded. So as soon as someone gets saved, what's going to happen? Off with the head. They're going to die very, very quickly. So it's a terrible and it's an awful time in that tribulation. And I want you to have a look at verse 6 of the passage that we have read. And it says, it refers to the first resurrection. Those are blessed that partake in the first resurrection. It says, they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. See that word reign? It means exercise kingly power. So under the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be a whole lot of people who are going to rule with the Lord Jesus Christ, who are going to have various responsibilities during this 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also in the passage that we have just read, it refers to the rest of the dead. The rest of the dead, in context, it's talking about the rest of the dead in the tribulation period. All right? The rest of the dead are not going to be resurrected until after the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to be resurrected at the great white throne judgment. So these are the unsaved who died in that tribulation period. Their resurrection won't take place until the great white throne judgment. Who else are going to go into the tribulation? You'll find that the church will be in the millennium. The church will enter into the millennium. We saw that in Revelation chapter 19, because the church, the saints, are going to come back with the Lord Jesus Christ at the second coming. That's us. So judgment has taken place. The judgment seat of Christ has taken place and has finished. And they are looking forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb and the marriage of the Lamb. But here they are. We, the church, are going to come back with Christ. So if you've never ridden a horse before, you're going to ride one then. And the thing is, you will not take part in anything. You will be a spectator. Because the only one who's going to have an active involvement is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to deal with the situation. So the church is going to go into the millennium. Another group of people that will enter into the millennium is the nation of Israel. Israel as a nation. Okay, and I want you to turn in scripture, please, to Romans chapter 11. If you got your Bible, turn there so you can see for yourself. And this way you'll be able to answer the questions that people will ask you regarding this time period. Okay? Romans chapter 11, and I want you to have a look at verses 25 to 27. It says there, For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So we need to know what God's program for the Gentiles is, which we just looked at. Okay, the fullness of the Gentiles. And so all Israel shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. All Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. Who's that? The Lord Jesus Christ. And shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, mark this, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sin. So we're talking about the second coming of Christ and entering into the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. This covenant that the Lord Jesus Christ has made, if you want to know where it comes from, he made two types of covenant, conditional and unconditional. If he makes a conditional covenant, he will say, look, I'll do this on the condition that you will do that. If you don't do that, I won't do this. But when he makes an unconditional covenant, there's no conditions to it. And he's made an unconditional covenant to Abraham. He's made an unconditional covenant to King David. And it's based on these covenants that God will fulfill his word regardless of the state or the way that Israel has gone and how they rebelled against their Messiah, how they crucified their Messiah, and how they placed a curse upon themselves and they said, his blood, Christ's blood, be upon us and our children. And they're paying the price ever since. So be careful what you say. Be careful what you say before God, because God can hold you to it, okay? And I think that's quite serious, isn't it? And so we'll see that the national salvation of Israel takes place when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. When the fullness of the Gentiles be come in Romans chapter 11. And that fullness of the Gentiles is when they have been destroyed. Because there is an and, a conjunction after that, and so all Israel shall be saved. So when the Gentile nations have been pulverized, and that's when the second part, so all Israel shall be saved. So Israel, national Israel, is going to go into the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. All Israel shall be saved. The Old Testament saints will go into the millennium. The Old Testament saints, and when I say the Old Testament saints, don't forget there was a time element before Abraham. There was things going on before Abraham, not just dealing with the nation of Israel. Okay, a point of time God chose for himself Israel. But this is even before, and this is why I say the Old Testament saints will go into the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 5, please. Revelation chapter 5. And in Revelation chapter 5, note, if you will, what it says in verses 9 through to 10. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. There it is. The kings and priests reminds me of the verse in Revelation chapter 1, talks about kings and priests unto God there as well. So all Old Testament saints, including the whole nation of Israel, are going to be saved, going on into the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's one more group that I want to mention in reference to that, and that is the sheep. The sheep of Matthew chapter 25. I'd like you to go there, please. Matthew chapter 25. And in beginning at verse 31. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, second coming, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, the 1,000-year reign, prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as have ye done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So there's the sheep. And they are going to go on into the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll have a little bit more to say about that. But there is also some things for you to consider, if you will, please, regarding this 1,000-year reign. First of all, Scripture tells us Christ is going to rule with a rod of iron. That's general knowledge. Christ is going to rule with a rod of iron. His servant David is going to be his co-regent. He will reign with Christ as king. There will be others who will exercise kingly power. And that's what, when I mentioned the tribulation saints, others are going to be identified in the ruling with the Lord Jesus Christ. The millennium will be similar to a Garden of Eden situations. Now, I was humming and hawing whether to read this passage, but for your sake, I think I should. And I'd like you to turn to that passage to see what it's going to be like in this period of time. I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter 35. In Isaiah chapter 35, and basically it's the whole chapter. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Remember the book by Spurgeon? That's where I got it from. 7. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water in the habitation of the dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and singing shall flee away. So there's a picture of what it's going to be like in this particular time. It also tells us that the animal kingdom during the 1,000-year reign, they're going to be at peace as well. We saw a little bit of that, but they'll be eating grass. There's no flesh eating. And so the children are going to be able to play out there and play amongst the snakes and all that sort of stuff. It tells us that very, very, very clearly. Children are going to be born in that time. And I'll say it again, children are going to be born in that time. And these children that are going to be born during this particular time, they still have a need to respond to salvation. Now, I'm just going to park there for a little while and think about these children. Who are these children from? And there's two views, really, but it tells us in the Bible that those who are in their eternal state, like the church and Israel and what have you, they don't have children because it says they're as the angels. They're not given in marriage. All right. So the children that I understand that are going to be born in this time are the children that come from the sheep. They're the ones that are going to have children. And I believe that that's why Christ still has to rule in its time with a rod of iron. Because now the shoe is on the other foot. Christians are struggling. Christians are persecuted in many countries because the unsaved, the people of the devil, are the ones that are in control. Who's the God of this world? Satan is. Okay? So Christians are being persecuted in many places. Now, imagine if that was turned around. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's sitting on the throne. Can you imagine the unsaved people who were born in that time having to live under a state of perfection? It's going to be so difficult for them unless they get saved. And that's why I'm saying to you that when the time comes after that 1,000-year reign, when Satan is going to be loosed for a season, how many people are going to rebel? How many people are going to join with Satan and fight against the Lord Jesus Christ and come against the holy city? An innumerable amount. And again, I was thinking about that. From our perspective, we are supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. Okay? The ones who walk by sight was the angelic realm before the creation of the world. How many rebelled with Satan? 1/3 of the angelic realm rebelled with Satan, and they could see God. They were in his presence. And now, during this millennial reign, these children, the ones who don't respond to salvation, they can see the Lord Jesus Christ. They can go up and visit him and worship at his throne, bow down at his feet. There is the God-man, and some will still not be saved. For some reason, they just do not respond, and they're the ones that are going to join with the devil, and it's going to be one, well, supposedly an almighty battle, but you can see what happens in the end. There will be in this millennial reign a temple. We call it the Ezekiel temple. And if you want to know the dimensions and all that sort of stuff, because I looked into that and I'm thinking, whoa, this is overload, I'm not going to get into that. But a temple will be built. And Christ will reign from that temple. There will also be a sacrificial system. And we might think, well, why is that? Because Christ is there. He's already paid the price. And the answer is as a memorial. Like we observe the Lord's Supper, we do it as a memorial. We remember the Lord's death till he come. And so they do the same thing as a memorial. Now, in closing, I just want to leave this with you. According to the scriptures, we know what's going to happen, don't we? If we study the Bible, if we study the scripture, we know how it's all going to pan out in the end. We know. We know we're waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to return. So for us, global change, global warming, and everybody freaking out that it's going to end, they're wasting their words. That's just all waffle. We know what's going to happen. We know where we will be in eternity. But the question is, do you know where you're going? That's the question. Do you know where you're going? And without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be absent from the body, you're going to be present with the Lord. We're supposed to test our own faith, aren't we? We're supposed to test our own salvation. And we make sure that we're on the word of God. And so I ask you again, make sure when confronted with this truth that you know where you're going and that you understand God's plan for the ages. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise thee and thank thee for thy holy word. And as we look at particular portions of scriptures and doctrines that we hold near and dear to us, we see that there is so much information given in the scriptures. And yet, gracious Father, so very few of God's people even bother to take up the time to read thy word and to study thy word. And is it any wonder that we fall into all sorts of problems and trouble when we don't know what the Bible teaches? So help us to be men and women and boys and girls of the book. Help us, Father, to look toward thee. Help us to grow in grace and in knowledge and wisdom. Help us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.